The best way to start your sports weekend. This is the WILS Weekend Kickoff with Dave Benton on 1320 WILS.
Dan Kilbridge from SpartanTailgate.com will be with us at 10:30 talking about UCLA Michigan State. Welcome back, Weekend Kickoff, 1320 WILS, streaming live at 1320WILS.com. We continue our hindsight 2020 NCAA bracket picks. We've gone through the West and the Southwest regions. Texas and Kansas is who we have going through to the Final Four, knowing what we know now. We'll break down the Southeast next segment, but now we'll talk about the East region, which has teams like Ohio State, Syracuse, North Carolina in it. The first game I want to talk about, though, is the game I think is going to be the best game of this round in this region, which is Kentucky versus West Virginia, because they're such different styles. But I think they could clash to make a heck of a game, Scott. I mean, West Virginia disposed of Clemson, although I will tell you this. I think I feel more bad for Clemson than anybody else, because Clemson finished their game in Dayton on Tuesday night around 11:50 p.m. Then they played the first game of the day on Thursday at noon. Okay, that is not a lot of recovery time. Now, should they just play better so they don't get that low of a seed? Yes, but at the same time, if you want to make it fair for these 12 seeds, you got to have more than 30 hours of rest before you play your next game. That, to me, is a disadvantage. So Clemson didn't play bad, but West Virginia was just the better team. And I'm a big fan of this Bob Huggins West Virginia team. I'm always a fan of West Virginia. They play physical. They play hard. You know, guys like Joel Mazzulla are just fun team to watch. They go about nine deep in desperation foul times. They're a good team. Quality wins this year. UConn, Louisville, Notre Dame, Purdue. But here's the issue. All their quality wins are at home. All their losses are away. Kentucky has quality away losses. So to me, that's an advantage for Kentucky when you're playing on a neutral floor. It seems like West Virginia plays better, Scott, when they have that feel of a home crowd.
Yeah, they've got to, and they've got the senior leadership. I know we don't like to put a ton into that. Mazzulla, it seems like he's been there forever. He's been relegated to a bench player, yeah. Back to a starter, back and forth. And was it last year when, was it Butler who just blew out his knee on the court?
Yeah, well, yeah, it was Butler. And also, I mean, Mazzulla played last year basically without a right shoulder. He had to switch which arm he shot with because he literally didn't have a right shoulder. Here's my question. As you're mentioning senior leadership, here's my question about Kentucky with those three freshmen. Now, I don't buy into this, but I've heard a lot about, you know, the freshman jitters in the NCAA tournament and stuff. Brandon Knight only goes for 2 points in that first game for Kentucky. Granted, it's the winner, but it's still only 2 points in that game. So my question to you is, do the freshmen get it under control in this game, or are we going to see more jitters from Kentucky? Because that is going to be the ultimate reason for this outcome either way.
I think more jitters. Kentucky, if you remember last week, that was one team I picked to not go very far. I think when the bracket came out, I might have picked them to win, and I did, over West Virginia. But this being the hindsight 2020, that game against Princeton, they did not give me any confidence in that one. And, you know, Bob Huggins, I give him the coaching edge in this one, and that could be what it comes down to.
If it wasn't for Josh Harrelson going 7-for-8 from the floor against Princeton, they don't win that game against Princeton. We're talking about another big upset. Okay, moving on. Let's talk Ohio State versus George Mason. I don't know that there's much to talk about here. Great win for George Mason. Congratulations. You beat Villanova. Ohio State's a much better team than you. You're not winning that game.
Yep, too small. Not enough talent.
I mean, I don't even really know what to say about this game. You're going to get into foul trouble. You only play 7 deep at the most. You don't have a lot of talent. And then compare that to, see, here's the single biggest advantage that Ohio State has, because I've heard this whole depth argument, and most times I would agree with you. If you're going to make a run in the tournament, you need to have depth. But here's the thing. Sullinger doesn't get fouls called against him. And if your only big man gets NBA treatment and doesn't get fouls called against him, that's like having two more people on your bench.
If they ever called the hook, the offensive hook, he would foul out. Every game.
I'm not saying he doesn't foul. I'm just saying that he doesn't get called for fouls. Let's talk about another game. Syracuse versus Marquette, another Big East matchup. Now, this one is interesting. Now, I have Marquette as one of my teams that I think that can go very far, and they got a very favorable draw. Okay, they beat Xavier first round. Now they take on a Syracuse team that they disposed of in the regular season. And because of that athleticism, because every player on their team seems to be 6'5 and athletic, they sliced that Syracuse zone up. Now, Syracuse made a late run and made the game exciting, but for the most part, Marquette dominated the first game between Syracuse and them.
And that was the last game of the four-game losing streak that Syracuse had. And Syracuse has only lost three games since then, one being that overtime loss in the tournament to UConn. I think it's redemption for them for the loss, and they have to prove that that zone does still work.
And that's what I'm saying. I mean, how do you attack a zone? We've talked about it all year. How do you attack a zone?
Put a guy in the high post.
You put a guy in the high post, and you penetrate as well, right? That's the two things Marquette do, okay? Marquette likes putting guys in the high post. They like penetrating. They can slice and dice that zone. Let's move on to the last game of the day, UNC versus Washington. That's a Sunday game as well. Washington had a come-from-behind win yesterday. North Carolina obviously cruised to victory over Long Island. However, North Carolina gave up 87 points to Long Island. Is that concerning to you?
Not when you score over 100. I mean, that's just going back and forth and scoring a lot. I tend to pick talent when I'm going in the bracket, and UNC, that's one thing that they are not short on. They have lots of talent on that roster.
Washington has gotten hot as of late. They've been a little bit better down the stretch. I like Isaiah Thomas, okay? I like Darnell Grant coming on late in this season. He's averaging 5 points a game through the year, but he's also averaging 11 points a game in the last 10 games. So it shows you that he's coming on strong. I'm picking Washington to upset North Carolina, just to let you know. Okay, who's your pick to come out of the East bracket? Knowing what we know, hindsight 2020, we already have Texas and Kansas. Who's your pick to come out of this bracket?
I have to stick with Ohio State on this one.
I will go with Ohio State as well, beating Marquette in the Elite Eight.
I think this will be the best bracket from here on out, the matchups coming up.
Most exciting. Okay, coming up next, we'll break down the Southeast bracket. Now that Michigan State's not in it, who do we expect to go and challenge Pitt? We'll see next. It's Weekend Kickoff, 1320 WILS.